Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, my radio listeners. This is Pastor Ola Starling with the Anointed Word Ministries. I am so glad to be with you once again this afternoon, giving God praise, and just so glad, praise God, to be before you once again to break the bread of life and to give you, praise God, the Word of God. And I pray, praise God, that all is well with you and yours, and that the Lord has been smiling on you because he has smiled on me. And I thank God for life, health, and strength, and for being here for me and mine and keeping us protected as we went through this day, praise God. And all was well, praise the Lord. He protected us going and coming. He allowed us to be under the blood and in the blood of Jesus to protect us, praise God, from the enemy himself. And tonight, praise God, we're not going to prolong the time. I just want to ask the Lord to bless this ministry, praise God, bless the word that is going forth tonight, that it may be spoken with clarity and understanding, that those that hear the word tonight will get a release in their spirit, and they may know, praise God, that the Lord is yet speaking. And he's speaking, praise God, right now on Anointed Word Ministry. I thank God for you, praise God. And Lord, I ask, Lord, that you would touch the unsaved loved ones. Touch them, Father God. Give them a chance once again, God, to say, yes, Lord, I yield. I come to you, Father God, just as I am, without one plea. And Father God, save them to the utmost. For I know, Father God, you are yet in the saving business. And I thank you for saving those that desire to be saved. It is your will that every man would come into the knowledge of the truth. Praise God, that they may not spend eternity in hell's fire. It's not your will that any man be lost. But if he is lost, he's lost because the devil has blinded him or them from the truth. And Father, I give you praise, glory, and honor for that right now. And Lord, we are going to the word of God, that your word may come forth, praise God, and bless some soul. And I do believe it to be so. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Don't forget, praise God, you can go and hear the word, praise God, even after the radio broadcast is over. You can go to blogtalkradio.com/Anointed Word Ministry. The word will be a blessing to you. Get the word in your spirit. Get it in your spirit. Because one day, these Bibles will not be around. That's why David said, meditate upon the word daily. Put it in your spirit. Get it out your hand and put it in your spirit heart. Amen. Right now, praise God, I want to go to you, praise God, with the word, praise God, and I want to try to make it as plain as I could be and try to get through this word, praise God, that you may be blessed from the word coming tonight. And tonight, praise God, I want to talk with you about a message. If I had to give you a thought and for you to say, well, what was she talking about? Let me help you out. Tonight, I have a word, praise God, that was, praise God, for you. And that word tonight is, the devil got a deal just for you. Deal or no deal? The devil got a deal just for you. Deal or no deal? Well, you know, you sing this program on TV is deal, no deal, and people got to go through and do everything they're supposed to do and figure out what it is, and when they do it, they'll either sing a song or figure out they have the money sitting there with all this money, and it makes you really want to do this game because you think I can use this money. And then you get to a point, they will say to you, deal or no deal? And there will be a chance that you would take. If you say no deal, then so be it. If you say deal, then it's still a chance you take. But tonight we're going to talk about, because the devil said that he has a deal, he got a deal for you. Deal or no deal. Well, you see, praise God, Satan desires to have all the men in the way that he desired to have, that way he had wanted to be Peter. Peter betrayed Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. And Luke 20:22-31, relentlessly, he speaks to gain advantage over men through the employment of what? Of devilish things he does and the persuasive device he uses. In 2 Corinthians 2:11, that some don't care, that others don't care, don't take him seriously only. And it makes his work of destroying souls much easier. You got people walking around saying there is no devil. You got people walking around saying he doesn't exist. You got them saying all kind of stuff because man has not come into the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, the Bible declared, he says before in the Word, he said, brethren, I would not have you ignorant concerning the Word of God or the devices of God. I won't have you ignorant. I want you to know what the devil is trying to do. And so Peter called him, our adversary, who, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. You know what I mean? He wants to be big and bad. He bully people. You understand what I'm saying? And he make people think, I'm tough, I'm bad. You know, the devil, he's this, he's that. And 1 Peter 5:8 says, not that he looks or sound like a lion. He doesn't roar. He doesn't have big old fat, big face, hairy hair all over his body. Mm-mm. But better than he did. See, he looks better than the lion does. But that he seeks his prey as the hungry lion. You see, a lion looks at his prey and he waits patiently for his prey because he knows it's going to happen. He knows it's going to happen because you know why he knows? Because he studied this prey for so long. He sits and he watches and he gathers everything about him, how he maneuvers and how he runs or how he likes to go and hunt for his food. And the lion just sits there and he lays right there. Very patient. Very patient because he knows sooner or later that lion is going to fall right into his mouth. And so what he does, he says, he seeks to prey as the hungry lion. And even when he appears as an angel of light, 2 Corinthians 11:14, it matters little to Satan that most of his followers deny him, even resent him, being identified with his kingdom. Satan don't care about you. He don't care about nothing you do, nobody you do, nothing you have, no relative of yours. He's not, as some people in the world can say, he's not scared. He's not scary. Mm-mm. He don't care nothing about you. And why should he care about those who deny or who deny voting for him so long as he carries the election? Sounds like me to one of our running partners in as a president. He says anything, he's like a roaring lion. He doesn't care whether you vote for him or not as long as he's elected for the president. He bullied his way in. He doesn't care whether you like him or not. But you see, here in the Bible says here that men serve Satan as they serve sin. They cling to the contrary, even by some very religious folks, some of our people, some of the people that are saying they saved and they this and they that. But go to say something about somebody they think they may like or some music they hear and they think ain't nothing wrong with it, and you'll see what come out their mouth. Oh, they were just a girl. Let me explain something. Let me put you in your place, throwing their finger and shaking their head. Because that goes to tell you they are religious and not saved. Mm-hmm. You see, with me, praise God, I'm going to tell the truth and shame the devil. Because I ain't scared. I'm going to tell you what God said. If God said it, I believe it, and I'm going to tell it. Amen. So he says right here, he said he comes as an angel of light. It doesn't matter, praise God, how you do it. It doesn't matter what you say, as long as he wins the election. Men serve Satan as they serve sin. And claim to the contrary, even though some don't even, they act like religious folks, notwithstanding. As John puts it, he that committed sin is of the devil. Is of the devil. So if you commit sin, you of the devil, you're not of God. People get mad. You don't know me. You can't judge me. Sin is sin. I don't care who do it. Amen. 1 John 3:8. Now, it says right here, give place to the devil, deal or no deal. Uh-huh. But even worse than that, Satan seeks a place in man. It is that man will give it. When Paul says, neither give place to the devil, in Ephesians 4:27, he implied that man's ability to resist, and James says plainly, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But you don't resist him. You invite him in. You give him a seat. You set a plate before him, and you feed him. If you keep feeding somebody and they don't know how to get their food no place else, they're going to keep coming because you never said no. You never resist them. You was always there to supply them. And it's the same way, praise God, with us with sin. As long as we allow sin to come into our bodies and live within, the devil is going to come in with the sin. Come on, somebody. He's going to come in with the sin. He's going to sit just like he belonged there. He's going to come and he expects to have a plate when he get there. Amen. But then this means that no man has to serve Satan, that every man as a free moral agent can choose his master. Did not the Bible says, choose you this day whom you will serve? Would it be God or would it be matter? You cannot serve two masters. Either you will hate one and hold to the other one, despise one or love the other. You can serve God and mammon. Thank you, Jesus. It means that the only place Satan can have in man is that which man gives him. Such indication is potential power, for which man should be thankful. Satan's power is limited. Let me help you out with that. He doesn't have the power God had. God is omnipotent, omniscient, and I'm not present. He has all the power, but Satan's power is limited, people. And when God, you see, when God helps, we can resist. But when you don't have God in you, you can't even endure. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, therefore we must, the devil is ever seeking a place in man, but be thankful to God. He cannot take it. Deal or no deal, a growing place. Not only can the devil be given a place in man, he's given a place, it becomes a growing place. Sin begets sin. The Bible said, let everything give after its own kind. If you sin it, then sin come back to you. It's after its own kind. The attitude that permits only one will permit yet another, and with increase easy. Recall David's lustful looking upon Bathsheba. Bathsheba, he wanted that man's wife. He was going to make a deal. So he made a deal with Satan. Did Satan say deal or no deal? So David said deal. So what he did, he looked upon Bathsheba. And how he led to adultery, lying, and then finally, my friend, he finally murdered for Bathsheba. He killed her husband. See, in every sin lies the germs of 100 more. And with each successive sin becomes a degree of hardening. In Hebrews 3:13, a guardian dulling of a spiritual sense that soon numbs, that violate conscience. One gives a place. The devil is hard to displace and soon expands his base of operation. You see, the devil has a plan just for you. It said the devil has a plan, a deal for you. Would you be able to say deal or no deal? But from what we see right now, most people are dealing. They're not turning around no deal. They're dealing. See, the devil sends forth a distraction deal. In addition to bringing and giving and a growing place, the devil place is also the distracting place. In the second letter of Corinthians, Paul writes, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve in her what? In his craftiness. Your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity and that the purity that is towards Christ. See, the devil don't want no good thing in you. He desires to sift you as wheat. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't care about how you look, what you drive, how much you paid for it. The devil doesn't care, people. Believe that. He doesn't care. He don't care about that. So the word simplicity here is a singleness and a sincerity as opposed to a double or divide. Satan would divide and distract your mind from Christ. Listen to me carefully. Perhaps with cares, perhaps with riches and pleasures. Everybody's concerned about how they feel and what they get and what they want. That's that dirty flesh. Or in other ways, just so long as it is occupied with earthly things and not spiritual things. In Colossians 3:2. Now, deal or no deal? Who controlled the kingdom of this world? How is it that Luke 5:4-6, to be reconciled with Daniel 4:17? We talk about old and the new here. Daniel says, God give the kingdom of men to whosoever he chooses. Satan, however, told Jesus during one temptation, all these authority I will give to you and their glory. But this has been delivered to me. That's when this is the devil talking to the Lord now. You know he's a liar. You know he's the father of lies. He said, I will give it to whosoever I wish, deal or no deal. Deal or no deal. God said, no deal. What you trying to give me, Satan, is already mine. No deal. And there were several things that about the temptation accounting that intrigued me, and it about which we would like to know more. The allegation conflict between Daniel 4:17 and Luke, however, is not a really monumental. Let's just say it's not something that you wouldn't expect to happen between Satan trying to what you may call entrap someone. There are fundamental propositions that existed. That exist, and it does exist in the Bible. Now, the sovereignty of God. God is sovereignty. That means He is. No one is like Him. No, that's nothing and nobody. Of all created beings, the term sovereignty has to do with Jehovah, the right to exercise authority over all His creation according to His pleasure and His will. In Psalms 115:3. The earth is His and the fullness thereof. In Psalms 24:1, no one has a right to dispute with God about how He exercises His will. In Isaiah 5:45-9, Daniel 4:35. This is one of the profound lessons, praise God, from the book of Job. If you look into the book of Job 38:2-48, moreover, the Lord's ways are beyond the human analysis. Man can't understand God. But He says it in His word, my thoughts are not like your thoughts, but my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Don't try to think like me, because you cannot. In Romans 11:33, He's telling you, don't worry about me. Just do what you're supposed to do, and just follow me, and don't make deals with Satan. Because when he brings you all of these things and it looks good to the eye, you must be able to understand in the spirit and discern. When he said deal, you say no deal. Hallelujah. Hey, God, no one has a right to dispute with God. Your hands are too short to box with Him. Satan is a subject to God's permissive will. Do you understand that? He is a subject to God's permissive will. Though Satan is the adversary of God and man, and a continuous enemy, in Matthew 13:28, the Lord, He's consistent with His own plan. You see, the devil don't knock God off His plan. He can't knock Him off His plan. But He can sure easy push us off ours. He take us to the cliff. I remember we were talking about the days of our life. There was one part called At the Edge of Night. The devil just take you to the edge of the night, of the cliff, and just push you, because you're just that gullible to follow Him. But we must understand, praise God, the devil has a deal just for us. He has a plan just for us. He has His own plan, and we have allowed the devil with a certain latitude of operation to work in us. And God is saying to you, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the fiery darts of Satan. Satan has a plan for you. He has a deal for you. And most of us are taking the deal. We're saying, yes, I'll take it, and no one is rejecting it. We're saying, deal, no deal. This reality is real, because if you read the book of Job, see, God knew that the devil was studying his servant Job. God knew that the devil was watching Job, because Job was sincere with his walk with God. He didn't give up anything for the devil. He stood for God and for God himself, for God alone. He did not put anything before God. The Bible said he was a man of upright standard. He knew no evil. And the devil watched Job. Of course, he came to Job and tempted Job. Job was a man like any other man, but he was not moved by the temptation. He was not moved by that. He was not moved by looking at the oh, man, he sure is buffed up. Girl, you know he cute. Girl, he fine. That's a fine devil. That's what he is, a fine demon, a fine devil. Yes. Mm-hmm. And the devil put him out there just for that. The devil put them out there just for you to look at them just like that, so you can fall into the what? Into the bed of temptation. Because he said, I give you a deal. And instead of you saying no deal, you said deal. And then you mess around and get something you can't handle, then you want to know what you're going to do with it. Come on, Jesus. Women's the same way. Men's the same way about women. They rest up to entice you, to make you fall into lust. You fall into sin. It's a deal. The devil has a deal for you, and it's a woman sitting there with a Delilah. It's sitting there waiting to bring you down. There's a Samson out there for somebody else, too. Delilah and Samson. Deal? No deal. But today, everybody's taking the deal. Nobody's rejecting no deal. Ah, God, thank you, Jesus. And Satan could have brought affection upon the patriarchs. Arozai, except for the permission of God. And Jehovah said unto Satan, behold, devil, all that he has is in your power. Talking about Job, only upon him put not forth your hand. Job 12:1-12. There is both permission and restriction of operation when you're dealing with children of God. The Lord allowed the enemy to attempt you. To see, you are tested by the fire. Yes, you are tested by the fire. And Satan has been allowed the power of temptation over men. Because guess what? Matthew's referred to him as the tempter. You didn't know that? He is considered as the tempter. He tempts you. He sits up and he figure out games to play with you. And he makes a deals with you. And you fall for the deal. And you end up losing everything you have, even your life. My Jesus. My Jesus. And the word said, but then he cannot overpower us against our will. It is possible to resist him, says James in 4:7. There was no force to yield to temptation. The ways of escape was available to us in 1 Corinthians 10:13. It is a tragic, tragic, hallelujah, reality, however, that we frequently do not pursue the escape route. We fall into the tempter's arm. Deal or no deal? You go for the deal. The devil's slick and sly, and you fall for the deal. Deal or no deal. Jesus. Now, Satan has evil influences over this whole nation. He done hoodwinked the whole nation. The whole nation has been hoodwinked by Satan. Yes. Consider several passages of scripture force one up to the conclusion that God has allowed Satan to exert his influence upon the nation as well as in the vision. You didn't know that, huh? The devil is characterized as the ruler of this world, John 12:31, and the God of this world. So when you ask God, why you allow this, and God don't allow it, this is Satan's territory. This is his ground. This is where he rules. And how do you escape all of this thing? By being in the Lord Jesus Christ. He protects his own. The Bible said the world love his own. In 2 Corinthians 4:4. The malignant policy of religion forces described that Paul talks about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is said to be according to the works of Satan. In verse 9, now yet significantly such was by the concession of God. The expression God sent, he sent it, signifies permission for the actual dispatch of a lie. Now, you know the devil is the father of lies. He was born a lie. He birthed a lie. But you see, praise God, in the book of Revelation, he's called the dragon, Satan. Revelation 20:2. Who empowers the beast? The opposition of God's people. Revelation 13:14. God is servitive. He is omnipotent. God is ultimately in control of all earthly powers. He rules, and he rules in civic government under the laws of supreme power. Satan has been allowed to certain dominions of temptation in a world where man possessed the gift of freedom of choice. The human family is surrendered so much to Satan, both in individual, collective, and nation. Humans, through self-sinfulness, delivers much to the enemy. This is what I want to get to you. There is no conflict, see. There is no conflict between Daniel 4:17 and Luke 4:5 and 6. This message approached to government control for different perspectives. The former affirmative Jehovah Supreme, servitive over all international affairs, while the latter time, praise God, God gives permission to God. And in the time of more responsibility, he surrenders. The devil has to surrender to humanity and to humility of God's will, and there's nothing he can do about it. The Lord is saying to you tonight, why are you allowing the devil to make deals with you when you know that the devil is a destroyer? You know, praise God, the only thing he wants to do, the only thing he come to do, is kill, devour, and destroy whom he can. He's killing and destroying your family members. He's killing and destroying you. He's killing and destroying your dream. He's killing and destroying your vision because you have given him the authority to come in and make a deal with you, and you have accepted the deal. Then you should have said, no deal, devil, no deal. My life is hidden in God. I am covered with the blood of Jesus. I am saved and sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. There's nothing you can get him but a beat down. Hey, come on, Jesus. Nothing you get him but a spiritual beat down. I will not take your deals. The devil deal is simply this. We can give him a place in our life now, and he will give us a place with him in eternity. That's a deal. You still have a chance to say deal or no deal. Mark makes it very well. Whatever distracts us from Christ, whatever hinders our doing his will or encouraging, do not do it and allow the devil to make a deal with you. The deal you make will determine your fate with Satan himself. Deal or no deal? Heaven or hell? Hell is a deal or no deal? Heaven, it is a deal. The word is saying the devil deal is simply we can give him a place in our life now. And he who? Satan. He will give us a place with him in eternity. Don't play with the devil. Don't play with the enemy. He's out to win it. He's in it to win it. And he comes. He comes with the deal to destroy, kill, and devour your whole generation. He don't play fair. He play dirty. He comes to destroy your downline, your family, your husband, your children, your siblings, your bloodline. He comes to destroy. He's already lost the battle, but he won't stop fighting. Spirit of God, listen. Do not let the devil hoodwink you. The devil got a deal for you. But your answer tonight be, deal or no deal. The choice is yours. I pray, praise God, you was blessed, praise God, from the words tonight. The Lord is saying, simply saying, it, do not give in to the enemy. Because if you make a deal with him, you're going to make a deal with him, he's going to make one with you in eternity. Hell's fire. You be blessed. And remember, the Lord loves you, but he really hates the sins that you do. Make him your Lord tonight. Don't let the devil fool you. He has a deal for you. Like he say, peek-a-boo, I got a deal for you. You either say deal or no deal. I say no deal. You be blessed.